Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. And to all the mothers, grandmothers, and wives, and mother-in-loves out there, happy week before Mother's Day.
That's right.
It's one thing to think about what you want to do. It's another thing to speak about what you want to do. But it's an entirely different matter to act on what you're thinking and speaking about doing. One evening, after a particularly long day, the Lord knew I needed to read James 1, 22 through 24 in the Message Bible.
And this is what it says. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are and what they look like.
I was struck by the five words in the second sentence. Act on what you hear. Act on what you hear. Even before the Lord dropped Rich Thoughts into my spirit nearly 12 years ago, I always considered myself a rich thinker, someone who acted on what they believed. As I was reflecting on this, the Lord kind of challenged me to challenge everybody here, everybody watching around the world, to think differently starting today.
Hallelujah.
Think differently starting today. And here's the way to do it. Number one, action step number one, start with rich thoughts.
All right.
Success or failure, victory or defeat, excellence or mediocrity, all begin in the mind. Begins in the mind. Never allow what other people think or say about you change your thoughts about your ability to achieve your goals and dreams.
That's right.
It's what you think about how God thinks about you that will determine your destiny. Let me say that again. It's what you think about what God thinks about you that will determine your destiny.
In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Every thought, word, action, or reaction we experience begins in the mind. Thoughts have substance. The things that we think about are the things we speak about, and the things we speak about are the things we bring about.
So true.
Unfortunately, many people grow up thinking about the negative things that others have said to them, expressed to them. It's time to stop letting other people use your mind as a septic tank, pouring in toxic thoughts. Need to stop. Now, when I said that, if somebody here or around the world thought, I can't, I have too much negative in me. I want to ask you a question. Who told you that? Who told you you had negative in you? Even if you don't remember, you believe them. Stop believing other people, and start believing God.
Amen.
Believe what God says about you. Today you can begin to use the pure, the powerful, the positive from the Word of God, putting it into your mind, and you can begin to think differently today. Starting today. You can actually change your attitude about yourself when you stop letting negative thoughts dominate your mind. Avoid such phrases as, I can't do that. I'd probably mess up anyhow. There's no way I'm going to win this. There's no way I'm going to get that promotion. There's no way I'm going to get that bonus. That probably just turned me down. I got to do this or I'll be out of here. He or she would never be interested in anybody like me, just to name a few. And believe me, I've heard more than a few in traveling nearly 7 million miles from a lot of folks. Here's what you need to know. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Somebody said that years ago, and it's true.
But it is true.
It is true. You change today by change how you think. Romans 12:2, New Living Translation.
I love it.
Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In fact, you need to practice saying certain things, certain phrases.
Amen.
For instance, Lord, I thank you that I'm happy, rested, and ready for another exciting adventure with you today. I'm inspired by what I'll be able to accomplish with you working through me.
Mm. Today, I'm going to see myself as God sees me.
I'm excited about today. It's a special gift from God just for me.
Today, God will allow me to be an encouragement to everybody I come in contact with.
And let me just say that. Everybody you come in contact with, you know, it may not all be for your benefit. You may be for their benefit.
That is so true.
By giving them an encouraging word, things that you say.
Amen.
Think about that. People like me, because they can sense the fruit of the Spirit in my life.
I like everybody I meet because I'm going to look at them the way God looks at them.
Hallelujah. I rejoice today. God has given me favor with every person I meet.
Mm. I'm going to eat healthy today because I'm going to honor my body as a temple of the Holy Spirit.
I let you have that one.
I noticed you did.
I did.
But you do too.
I do too.
I did hear a man say one time, though, after he'd moved back home to the South, and you know how good Southern food is, that he said I traded in my temple for a Pizza Hut. So, yeah, he gained a lot of weight. But anyway, let's not be that way. Let's trade in our Pizza Hut and build a temple
funny.
Of God, right? Yeah, that's I thought
funny.
It was too. Anyway, that's
I'll be on time for every appointment. And by the way, let me say about that. If you are late to an appointment, it is disrespect to that person.
That's right.
Because you don't respect their greatest treasure, their time. Their time.
That's right. We used to say if you're 10 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late.
That's it.
Just saying. I will perform my job as unto the Lord and do the very best I can.
I will rapidly and thoroughly complete all my responsibilities today. I will not put off the things that I need to do.
I am an overcomer, I am a conqueror, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am fulfilling His purpose for my life today.
Now, we encourage you to add to this list.
That's right.
Add things that you can do, positive, rich thoughts, proclamations.
That's right, that come to your mind. We just added, we just put a few just off the top of our head, but there's more, and as it comes to you through the Word, add it to the list and tell yourself, even if you look in the mirror.
From the moment you wake up in the morning.
That's right.
You need to be energized. You need to be ready. Mm. You need to be speaking the pure, the powerful, and the positive.
That's right.
Over your day.
We make a
determined and over your life.
Effort.
And over your children.
Yes, definitely.
And grandchildren.
And if you're positive, they'll be positive.
That's exactly right.
Mm. Amen.
For a number of years, sad to say.
We're working on it.
I'm working on it. I'm doing a book called Rich Thoughts for Poor Thinkers. And I got to finish that book.
Yes, it's almost finished.
It's been on the list, but it's been bumped down for others to take its place. I'm thinking. Anyhow.
It's good.
I know. Action step two.
Action step two, really. Speak your rich thoughts into reality. There are 12 guidelines using the Word of God to change your thinking into a positive, godly, rich thoughts, right, babe?
That's it.
Number one, we must speak to those things that are not as though they are. I love that. It's Romans 4:17. Abraham spoke to those things which were not as though they were, because God had promised him they would be. So, you know, what we want to have happen, what we want to have become. Actually, the Lord says, put me in remembrance of my word over in Isaiah. I think it's 62. It says, put me in remembrance of my word. We need to quote the word, you know, so that the things that we want to come to pass in our life, we're quoting and making come to pass.
Absolutely.
We need to begin to see ourselves as God sees us, and we'll eventually become how He does see us because we are quoting the Word of God in our lives.
Think about that.
Yeah, don't give up.
We will eventually become how God sees us.
Hallelujah.
That's a powerful thought.
That is a powerful thought. And it will, and it is true. Amen.
Number two.
That's it.
Make your rich thoughts as specific as possible. If you're confessing an exercise program, then make a definite confession. I will ride bikes with my family every night before supper. What if...
I saved that one for you.
Moving on.
Sorry. Well, you saved one for me.
I know. What if only you end up riding bikes one night?
There you go.
One night in seven.
You still did it.
You did.
That's right.
And you're going to make it happen.
That's it. That's it. To greater achievements.
Can I do number three too?
Sure.
It's important that your rich thoughts reflect the here and now and not the hereafter.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't say, tomorrow I'm going to start reading three chapters in the Bible every day. Don't say, after Junior's birthday, I'm going to cut back on sweets. Changing your thought process starts today.
And you reap the benefits
not tomorrow.
Yeah.
I call it TNT. Today, not tomorrow.
That's it. Number four, and that's dynamite.
It is dynamite.
Make your rich thoughts free from guilt. Guilt is what happened in the past, and it's over and gone, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, if we're going to get closer to God, we got to go ahead and get up in the morning. Start that word process, start this, quote, you know, confessing stuff every morning. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to get up tomorrow and do it. We're going to say, thank you, Lord, that I am rested, refreshed, and I'm ready to spend that wonderful hour with you. And no matter how you feel, get started and God will take over from there.
That's exactly right. Number five, put some feeling into your rich thoughts confession. Thank you, Lord, that I no longer desire those fat building, artery clogging, clothes tightening desserts.
Amen. That's right. Number
and
six.
Say it until it becomes reality.
There you go. Number six.
Thank you, Lord, that I no longer want to go to Dairy Queen and get the big one. Ice cream cone dunked in chocolate. Hallelujah. I go to McDonald's and get the little one. Okay.
That's right.
I'm sorry, go.
Number six. We're having fun tonight. Make rich thoughts confessions at least 21 days. There's really kind of a proven fact. If you can do the same thing for 21 days, it becomes a habit in your life. That's 3 weeks. So the point being is that take that confession and start making it to where you already know what you're going to say before you start saying it. It has become a part of your life. And guess what? Use the Word of God and it will become a part of your life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Number seven, take small but consistent efforts at first.
That's right.
When your confession has changed one part of your thought process, focus on another. But don't overdo it.
Number eight, create early victories. In other words, think and speak and confess and act so that you take in bite-sized portions. What do they say? The way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. So just do what you can do and get started on it, and the rest will start taking care of itself. One bite at a time.
I did a teaching once entitled, Elephants Don't Bite, But Mosquitoes Do.
That's right.
So you have to keep everything in perspective.
That is exactly really right.
Number nine, don't brag to your friends or coworkers about changing. This will only put increased pressure on you. Remember, you're not doing it for them. Let them see the results of the godly changes in your life.
Amen.
What you need to do.
Number 10, your thought changing process should focus on goals that are within reach. If you're working an 8-hour day and you're commuting an hour and a half back and forth, and you know, you spend so much time getting home and preparing a meal and cleaning up after it, and you have absolutely, you know, helping kids with homework or doing whatever else, there's really going to be very, very difficult for you to read a book. But you can read a little bit of a book or a chapter a night. and be able to have a little bit, you know, make it an attainable goal is what we're saying, something that you can take it. Sometimes you have to do bite size, but you will get through a book if you're reading even a chapter a night.
There are a number of devotionals that are not just make you feel good spiritually. They provoke your thoughts and can help you change areas of your life that need to be changed.
Amen.
Number 11, write each rich thought builder on a 3x card, or put it in your smart toy, smartphone, iPad, all that stuff, whatever it is. Carry it with you all day. Treat these thought builders like meals. Meditate on them morning, noon, and night. In other words, have a rich thought for a snack, you know.
There you go. That's good. You know, number 12 says, don't stop until your rich thought process starts taking and you start seeing a change. There's two things in making all of this work. Number one, start, and start now. And the second thing is, don't give up. Even if you're not seeing everything that you want to see right away. In Matthew 12:34, in the New Living Translation, it says, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in the heart determines what you say.
Hallelujah.
That's right. So what you're putting in there is what's going to come out.
Did you catch that? Whatever is in your heart determines what you say.
Come out of your mouth. That's right. In Matthew 12:35, goes on to say, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things.
That's a perfect anatomical flow.
That's true.
It really is. Heart, head, mouth.
That's right.
Heart, head, mouth. That's the way it is.
It is. Proverbs 13:2 tells us, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence.
Our words have magnetic power. They'll draw to us thoughts and actions that have the power to shape our destiny.
Amen.
It'll draw positive people to you, your words, or negative people. But it's life-changing.
It is.
Action number 3. Cover your rich thoughts with prayer. When you open your mouth to speak or pray, your words are heard beyond your natural surroundings.
Think about it.
Your words penetrate the heavenlies.
That's why it's
first.
Yeah, important to speak the word of God.
God hears you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 145:19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Hallelujah. These are so many rich thoughts in this. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14, this in the Classic Amplified, which I love. It says, then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity. Never think that what it's like we talked about earlier, that is so negative you can't get out, because the Lord is the one who's bringing you out.
That's right.
The words you speak to him are not only heard,
but
acted on. Amen. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Second, angels hear you.
I love
God
that.
Hears you, angels hear you.
Think of that. Psalm 103:20, one of my favorites. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments hearkening. Listen to this. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. You're speaking his word. So they're hearkening unto the voice of his word that you just quoted.
You know, I love this. First off, these angels are not cherubims.
Like you used to see in the old paintings.
He's dispatching the
warrior
strongest,
angels,
the most elite warrior angels on your behalf.
That's right.
God's angels can get the job done. But it's also important that it says that the angels follow his instructions and obey the voice of his word.
Hallelujah.
Not his word, him speaking, But our, as we speak it, they're hearkening when we speak His word.
That's right.
And that makes a huge difference. Child of God, when we speak the word of God, know this, you're summoning the most elite, powerful warrior angels on your behalf and what you're praying about.
I have a little saying at home that says, if you don't read the word of God, you don't have a prayer. Because if you don't know the word, you don't know how to pray. Think of that. Anyway, hallelujah and praise the Lord. Action step number 4. Rich thoughts are created studying the word. That's really kind of what I started on a minute ago. In 2 Timothy 2:15, I know you know this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Think about it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do we find out what the real word of truth is? We study it. We don't just read it or glance over it or speed read through it. Actually, we were talking to someone the other day, and I said, you know, reading through the Bible is wonderful, and I think it's an encouraging thing to do, but I can't do it in a year because there's just too much to read and too much, and I don't want to feel pushed. So I'm reading through the Bible again. I'm in the Psalms. But when I started in Genesis, I got to thinking about stuff I wanted to get into. So I started making a list of when everybody was born and how long they lived and how their lives overlapped with each other. And I got this big old sheet that tells how, you know, get into it and study it and enjoy it. Don't just read it and say, well, thank God I can tell God I read this today. It's not how much you read. It's what you get inside you that you can put to work to make your life better. And you know, you can brag to your friends, I read the Bible in a year, or you can speak the word and live the word and be a witness so that if somebody has trouble, they come to you for help. Anyway,
God has a sense of humor. I own a Bible called a Mathis Bible, and it has 24 translations in it. Not complete translations, but like a verse may have 5 or 6 different translations quoting that. Yeah. Altogether, there's 24 translations. And I remember once I was saying, Lord, you know what? I'm going to read 12 chapters of the Word every day. And except Psalm 119, that's an exception. But I said, I'm going to read it every day. And it's like the Spirit of the Lord said to me, read it in the Mathis Bible. And I went, so I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm just going to read what you tell me to read. Yeah. So, change my life.
Study, though, is defined in dictionary.com as application of the mind to the acquisition of knowledge, as by reading, investigation, or reflection. And we've got to have enough time to be able to read and investigate and reflect on what it is that we've read, or we're not going to know what we read when we're through. So we're studying to show ourselves approved. The point of being approved is being able to apply the Word of God to our lives. And studying is a seed we plant and we harvest when we acquire the knowledge of it. In fact, the Scripture says in Mark 4:24, this is in the Classic Amplified, you'll receive more than you bargain for. Hallelujah. It says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. So we need to be careful what we're reading and hearing. And truthfully, a good pastor is going to say, don't take my word for it. Find, you know, see that it's in the word. That's why we use so much scripture. We don't want to just say, hey, you should believe this. We want to show you where we get what we get. So point being,
that's also why in our outlines,
yes,
we actually put the entire scripture.
Right.
Because if we were just to put the address, the book, the chapter, and the verse,
you might not look it up.
95% of the people are not going to look it up. So we make the effort,
yes,
to put it in the outlines.
Hallelujah.
And we distribute it here on Sunday night, and the ones that you can
read
online and around the world.
That's right. In Joshua 1:8 in the New Living Translation, it says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. That's so good. You know, something else is stirred in us about this scripture too. So let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15 one more time. It says, study to show thyself approved, remember, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. According to Strong's Concordance, the word workman in this, in the Greek, is the word G2040. And it means a workman or a laborer. However, its root word, are you ready, is G2041. And it means any product whatever, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, by mind, an act, deed, and a thing done. A workman is someone who gets things done in such a manner that there can be no criticism or of their efforts or their deeds. In fact, their deeds are so worthwhile that there's absolutely no complaints from upper management. That would be workman approved unto God, right?
Upper management.
So that's a cool
Literally,
way.
Upper yeah, management.
That's right. Upper management. I love it.
I okay. do too. That's good.
That's fun.
You know, we recently taught part of that on Rich Sauce for Breakfast.
That's true. You
and if you dialed in every morning at 8:30, you'd know that.
That's right.
And you'd be enriched by what we teach.
Amen.
And you can listen to it.
We got a great testimony the other, what was it, yesterday? Mm-hmm. Or the day before? This gal was on Twitter and found out about it and tuned in. And she wrote us, right? It was so sweet. She wrote us and said, I tuned in to the pastor and his wife. That I guess she didn't even know us by name. She said, and I was so taken by everything you said. She goes, I had to go back and back, you know, come in again and just back it up and get a pencil and paper and wrote down and made all kinds of notes and I'll be back tomorrow. That was very encouraging to us. Hallelujah. We try to give you every morning a little something that's going to start you on your day and build you up and boost you up and let you have a great day in the Lord.
Full course meal.
That's it. For breakfast.
For breakfast.
So if you get skimpy for breakfast, you can always tune in and get a spiritual overdose. Yes. Okay.
Action step number 5. Create your own team of rich thinkers.
That is so good.
If you've ever read a book on success, you know that most authors recommend you secure the advice of someone already successful in the field of endeavor. Napoleon Hill, in his book, Think and Grow Rich, suggested we create a mastermind alliance, a team of people whose advice we admire, we value, and whose past experiences increases our probability for success.
That's right.
But let's look at what the greatest book ever written has to say.
Ephesians 4:16, Classic Amplified. It says, for because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, growing to full maturity, building itself up in love. I'm just going to put that in a little bit more succinct language. That means all of us working together like the body should be working.
That's right.
I mean, Christ is the head, we are the body. And if we know our place in the body and we're doing our part, then the body can come together and really do the work of the church, because we're not trying to find ourselves, we're not trying to find our part, we're not trying to take somebody else's, well, I think I should be head usher. I mean, you get in there and you do what it is you're going to do, and the church comes together and fulfills what we're supposed to be doing, fulfilling the will of God. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, Classic Amplified, it says, so that there should be no division, here we go, or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other. Wow. But the members are all alike should have a mutual interest and care for one another. You know, if you do what it is you're supposed to do, God will put you exactly, if he's going to promote you, he's the one who will promote you. It won't be you yourself. So might as well be working together and hallelujah, making it happen, right?
Yep.
When we read the scripture, go ahead.
We read the scripture.
Yeah.
I was reminded of an anagram for the word team that I learned years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Team. Together, everyone achieves more.
That's right.
Great, great anagram.
And God is also glorified.
That's exactly right.
So.
And see everybody and everyone working together.
Amen.
As one to bless others. And in doing so, you bless yourself.
That is right.
You might consider creating a, Rich Thoughts group to help you avoid mistakes, reduce stress, think more creatively, no doubt achieve greater success. But you can do that by dialing in to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast every morning.
Yay.
Because there's a team talking to you every morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Prayer, prayer, prayer. Action step 6. Rich thinkers make wiser decisions. Here are 7 steps to make the right decision. First, make a decision. Hallelujah. Job 22:28 in the Living Bible. You will decide on a matter and it will be established for you, and the light will shine on your ways. You know, if you've been living in the land and not enough, which sometimes happens, occasionally traveling through the life of just enough, then you decide that today things are going to change. You can get to the point of where you live in the land of more than enough.
That's it. That's exactly right.
Amen.
Second, make a decision on whom you're going to serve.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 2:2.
I know you thought we were going to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the
Living
Lord.
Bible.
But this is different.
For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Third, decide to walk in His ways and keep His word. Deuteronomy 26:17 in the Classic Amplified says, You have openly declared the Lord this day to be your God, pledging to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His precepts, and to hearken to His voice.
Fourth, when you act on your decision, things begin to change. Genesis 24:42, New Century Version. Today I came to this spring. I said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, please make my trip successful.
Fifth, things change today by the decisions we make or by what we fail to make, the decisions we fail to make. In Deuteronomy 30:15.
This is for at least one person here and many of you watching around the world. When you go out on appointments in the morning, before you leave the house or when you get in the car, say, Father, today I'm going to see this one, this one, this one, and this one. I thank you that the supernatural, that the
favor of God.
Favor of God will be on me.
Amen.
And that you'll know, anoint every word that I speak.
Amen.
And do that.
Amen.
And if you, whether you're in sales or if it's just somebody you're going to meet for coffee.
Or if you're, no matter what you're doing.
That's exactly right.
Really, you know, have the anointing of the Lord speaking through your voice. Deuteronomy 30:15 in the Living Bible says, look, today I have set before you life and death, depending on whether you obey or disobey.
Wow. Six, once you make a decision, He wants you to keep it. Deuteronomy 6:6, New Century Version. Always remember these commands I give you today.
Seventh, decide today how you will use your time. In Psalm 90:12, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, teach us to use wisely all the time we have. We don't know how much time we have. We need to use it wisely.
That's it.
And we decide. Don't let somebody else decide. Not the passing of the clock. We decide what we're going to do with every minute of every day that God's given us. And one more thing, we may, right?
Yeah.
You may not have what you want because you don't know
what you want out of life.
Well, that's true.
Yet.
But it does maybe sometimes mean turning off the TV, muting the cell phone, putting your computer in sleep mode, and sitting down and deciding, creating goals for the future success that you want. Is going to take your effort, and you're the one who decides whether it's going to happen or not.
Doing that would be what I'd call a wise decision.
That's right.
Action step number 7. Rich thinkers stay focused. Focus can either be used good for good or for evil.
Yeah.
Consider Paul.
That's right. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, Classic Amplified, it says, For I am the least worthy of the apostles, who am not fit or deserving to be called an apostle, because I once wronged and pursued and molested the church of God, oppressing it with cruelty and violence. He knew where he came from, but he didn't. He changed his ways. Acts 8:3 in the Classic Amplified says, but Paul shamefully treated and laid waste the church continually with cruelty and violence. And entering house after house, he dragged out men and women and committed them to prison. But later, Jesus became the focus of all of Paul's priorities, and he became a totally, totally different person and had a different manner. And he writes in Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14, in the Classic Amplified.
This is on your outline, those of you here tonight, those of you watching around the world. We're going to ask you to read that scripture yourself.
Wow, it's such a good one.
Well, you read it then.
I'm sorry, go.
No, go. Go.
It says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. That's all of us. And that I may so share his sufferings to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold on me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, and it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, I press toward the mark to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward.
Our focus changes.
Woo!
When our
heart changes. Amen.
One more thing. Rich thinkers must be immune to, overcome, ignore, and deal with those who would distract your focus. Mm. When David recovered the Ark of the Covenant, he was praising God with all his might as they entered the city. David was excited when he got home, ready to share his success and bless his family. However, the one person who should have been the happiest to celebrate with him, well, she wasn't. She was more concerned about what people would think about the way he danced before the Lord. His wife, Michal, the daughter of King Saul, harshly criticized and rebuked him. But here's the point of this. As you take action steps to think differently, starting today, to be a rich thinker.
Amen.
You may have opposition from unexpected sources. Or you may be on the verge of victory, the moment of rejoicing, and somebody comes up with something negative. It'll take a strong character to be able to overcome that. And that character comes from time in the Word.
Amen.
Time in the presence of God. That's where it comes from. And that's what it'll take. Those seven steps, go back over.
Yes.
I want to say this.
They're rich.
They are rich. You've probably read hundreds of books or a number of books, maybe even 1,000 books, that deal with renewing your mind and what you need to do. And I'm confident everybody here tonight, everybody watching around the world, you know what we just taught is true. But there's a difference between knowing something's true and doing something about it.
Amen.
And our challenge to you tonight, or whenever you see this, you know,
teaching.
This teaching is to start today. Purpose in your heart. Mm. You don't have to come up with this thick critical path. You know, what you need to do is just decide what you're going to work on, what you're going to focus on. Work on it, focus on it. Ask God where you need to start first.
Start with one thing.
And then once you get through that, then ask Him what you need to do next.
That's right.
But the real key to this is not saying it, not thinking it, not speaking it, but doing it.
Do all the previous things, but just get to it. That's why we named it 7 Action Steps for Rich Thinkers.
That's it.
Action being the number one thing. Amen.
I'm through now.
You are?
Yep.
I got on my soapbox a little bit tonight, too.
That's okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this coming week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching up at the top, where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern.
If you want to get fired up.
I want to tell you what. I already know what we're teaching, baby. It's so good. I may get up and run around the room.
Well, go ahead. But let's get off the air first.
Okay. I'm talking about tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
I'll do it. Hallelujah. We love you. We appreciate you.
We do. And keep thinking rich thoughts.
And happy trails.
That's right.
Almost forgot. Good night. God bless you.
Amen.